Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Libraries are the cornerstones of our communities, places to find books on every topic imaginable, to study, to meet with neighbors, for people of all ages to get lost in a story. People who are blind or have visual impairments, however, may not find the local public library has resources that adapt to their needs. That's where the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped comes in. It has an extensive collection for qualified residents of all ages, from books in large print or braille to downloadable copies or audiobooks. The library has thousands of titles in its collection. Leslie Bowman is the director of the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, located in Baltimore, 415 Park Avenue. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So census data reveals that more than 110,000 Marylanders are blind or experience serious difficulty seeing even when they use glasses or contact lenses. Who qualifies for access to the library?
The people who qualify are those who are completely blind, have low vision, which is not correctable to vision has to be worse than 20/200. If you have dyslexia, if you cannot physically hold a book, or you have a prescription from a doctor saying that you cannot access 12-point font print, we can take your application with a certification, and we will provide you with a player and call you and set you up with books.
There's a process for applying and basically proving one of the situations you just described.
Yes, our application is on our website at lbph.maryland.gov, and then you look for the link to the application. There is a page for the certifying authority, which needs to be a doctor, a caregiver, from a assisted living or some wonderful organization, or a qualified librarian, depending on what the eyesight challenge is.
And, of course, we will link to your website from the On the Record page at wypr.org. What types of resources can patrons check out from the library?
Well, we have titles in Braille, nonfiction and fiction. We also have audiobooks, and we have large print. But we also have access to magazines and newspapers. The National Federation of the Blind has a wonderful resource called Newsline, and we provide the username and password. You can listen to the Baltimore Sun by calling the phone number and following the instructions that you will hear, and they will read the newspaper to you. It is pre-recorded. We also have magazines that come from the National Library Service and are sent directly to our patron at their post office, and they can listen to it on the player. And then there's the Braille audio reading download program through the National Library Service. We provide the username and password, and our patrons can get to books, titles, magazines, downloadable Braille for a refreshable Braille display, and all kinds of fun things.
I cannot picture what downloadable Braille is. Yes.
You would download a file to your computer, which would be hooked up to a refreshable Braille display. It is usually 20 cells of Braille, and they have little pop-up tabs that come up, and the computer tells what to put up, and the person who is reading Braille reads it with their fingers on the refreshable Braille display. But instead of carrying around a huge Braille book, for instance, when we are doing a tour at the library, we show a copy of the cookbook, Joy of Cooking, as purchased off of Amazon. In Braille, it is 30 volumes of pages, books that are 12 inches high and 4 inches thick. And so when we send that to a patron so that they can read The Joy of Cooking in Braille, they get 30 boxes and 30 volumes. This is not something that's easy to carry around. So most of our patrons who do read in Braille would prefer something on a refreshable Braille display.
What is the size of the library's collection?
We have 325,000 titles.
And where do you get most of your materials?
Most of our materials come from the National Library Service, which is part of the Library of Congress. So they actually produce the objects that we get, whether it is a Braille book or a audio book on a cartridge.
And these are all free
to our patrons, yes.
To your patrons. How has technology changed the types of reading material offered by the library?
Technology has been absolutely fantastically wonderful for our patrons. 10 years ago, you would have listened to the audiobooks on a very large cassette player, on a 4-track cassette. You would had to know that each cassette had 4 sides, so you flipped it over 4 times, and it wasn't very fun and very clunky, and the quality wasn't very good. The National Library Service worked with engineering students across the country and developed a player that is all digital. It has a play button, a stop button, a forward button, a back button, the ability to download a book onto a thumb drive and plug it into the side. Certain ones, upon request, you can have one that you can actually put a bookmark or forward through chapters to the space that you want, but it has made it so much easier. And then on the Braille, with the refreshable Braille, the National Library Service has identified a refreshable Braille display that hopefully soon we will be able to check out to our patrons so they do not have to purchase one.
Are most of your patrons looking for something to listen to or something to read with in Braille?
Most of our patrons are looking for something to listen to. The Braille collection does not get checked out anywhere near as much as our audio.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with the director of the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Leslie Bowman. And joining us now by phone from Pikesville is Robin Hughes, who serves on the Friends of the Library Board of Directors. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you so much for having me.
How long have you been going to the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped?
I became a member of the library when I was 2 or 3 years old, and I'm 44 now.
Goodness. Describe your physical impairment.
I have a congenital severe visual impairment. It's caused by a congenital genetic disorder.
And so does that mean you have no vision or very limited vision? Or
my visual acuity is 2500. So what a person with normal vision can see at 500 feet, I can see at 20 feet.
Ah. What types of materials do you like to check out from the library?
I am a museum professional, and I have a master's degree in German Jewish history, so I'm very interested in cultural and social politics. And so I tend to check out books in that genre. And the reading medium that I typically use is recordings. And I also use electronic Braille as well.
So recordings and electronic Braille. And how do you tend to access them? How do you tend to go in and find out what you would be interested in?
They have an online download service. It's a portal that's called BARD, and it's an acronym that stands for Braille and Audio Download Service. And so I just use my computer or my smartphone to access. I have an app, a BARD app on my smartphone, for instance, that I can download the books from.
Uh-huh. How does the availability of Braille materials compare to the collection of audio materials?
As Leslie said a few minutes ago, there are far more materials available in recorded form. That's because most patrons have age-related acquired visual impairment. So their age is typically around 75. So in general, most 75-year-olds are not going to be so inclined to learn Braille. So therefore, the library makes an effort to have as many audible materials available for them.
Leslie, why is it so important for people with disabilities to have a library that caters to their reading needs?
Well, everyone should have equal access to information and equal access to things of entertainment. For instance, we get calls over the wintertime specifically from patrons who are very concerned about when their books are going to arrive because that is their entertainment. They do not watch TV. It is not pleasurable for them. And they would rather listen to a book, good book.
Robin, why do you think it's so important for people with disabilities to have a library for their own needs?
Well, I think it's important, as Leslie just said, for everyone to have access, equal access to literacy, and by extension, access to the sum of human knowledge. And I think that that's important because we come from a diverse society, and I think it's important for people to have access so that they can gain a better understanding of each other and thus create and build civil society.
You mentioned visual impairment being much more common among older adults, but the library serves people of all ages. Leslie, what's available for kids and teens?
Well, we have a youth librarian, LaShawn Miles, who works with our youth and teens. We have novels, books for fun. We provide access to as much information as we can, or guide them to guide students to get textbooks through other formats, because the National Library Service does not produce textbooks. For our young people who are attending Maryland colleges and universities, we do have the Maryland Accessible Textbook Program that we work with the Disability Service centers for the different colleges and universities in the state of Maryland, and we convert textbooks for students who have vision impairments and need another format.
What other activities does the library offer?
Well, we have the an accessible technology trainer. So for our patrons who are learning about technology, we actually teach them how to use a computer. We teach them how to get to email. We teach them how to use a screen reader or a screen enlarger, depending on what they need.
So the accessible technology trainer is a person, not a technology.
No, it is a person. It is Jerry Price is our assistive technology trainer. He offers training one-on-one, over the phone, through email, in small groups. And then we also have, on the second Saturday of every month from March to November, we have a technology user group that Jerry leads to introduce our patrons to new technology that might help them. It's not necessarily something that we actually have at the library. For instance, last month was about using Siri Assistant. And then we put the recordings from the technology user group on our website afterwards so that people who were unable to attend can listen to it, because we are a statewide service. So coming to 415 Park Avenue is not convenient for everyone, so we try to make this accessible afterwards.
And then you also have theater productions?
We have a opportunity. We're working with the Center Stage Theater. They came and did a production. First, they did a touch tour so that participants could actually touch the props, touch the stage. Well, it was set up at our meeting room, so they touched where the actors were going to be performing, and they could touch the props. They had an explanation of what it looks like and why the placement of different things. They were introduced to the different voices for the actors so that they would know who was speaking and what the character was. And then we also had, for those people who have a hearing impairment as well, or they wanted to know what was going on around, so many of our patrons would like that. It was kind of a descripted, we call it descriptive video, but this was live, where they wore a headset and someone was telling them what was going on stage at the same time as the actors were acting.
Mentioning other impairments, how is the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped working to make public libraries across the state more accessible?
Well, we're very excited. We have worked with the libraries across the state. There are 196 branch libraries across the state, and over 100 of them have a workstation that we have helped guide them what they wanted to put in their libraries. We worked with the Institute of Museum and Library Services using a Library Service Technology Act grant. We call them the ADA compliant workstations. It is a workstation on a special table that is electronic, so it raises and lowers for the height of any patron. And then on it, we have a special Optilec CCTV, which is an enlarger. But the neat thing about these CCTVs is they also have an OCR reader. So you can put any printed text underneath, and it will do its best to translate that into audio. And so for somebody who wants to read their local newspaper that hasn't been put into audio, they can take their local newspaper and put it on the CCTV. It takes a snapshot of it and then tries to read it. And if the person has a thumb drive, they can download that onto the thumb drive and take it with them. Then also on the ADA-compliant workstation is a computer that has JAWS, which is a screen reader. A screen reader reads everything that's on the screen. So, you know, the computer is talking to you, and you have shortcut keys to get around, and that's one of the things that Jerry teaches people to do. And then it has a screen enlarger for people with low vision so that it magnifies everything on the screen much larger than, you know, Windows or the Macintosh would do on its own. And then the neat thing that we have done at the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped is we provide training to the librarians on how to use these stations so that they don't feel like somebody's going to walk in and no one's going to be able to help the patron if they don't know how to use the tool.
And so at about what proportion of branch libraries are these kinds of supports available?
Over half, so 100 out of 196. And we're working on the others.
Well, I appreciate you're both giving us this introduction to it for those of us who didn't know about it. Thank you very much, Robin and Leslie.
Thank you so much for having us.
Leslie Bowman is the director of the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Robin Hughes is a longtime patron of the library. She serves on the Friends of the Library Board of Directors. At the On the Record page, we have a link to the library's website, and we will put the phone number 410-230-2443, 410-230-2443. Quick break now, and then a Stoop story.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!